ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 2 ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಪಾದ ಅವಿರೋಧ ಅಧ್ಯಾಯ ಸ್ಮೃತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ ಸ್ಮೃತ್ಯನವಕಾಶದೋಷ ಪ್ರಸಂಗ ಇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಅನ್ಯ ಸ್ಮೃತ್ಯನವಕಾಶದೋಷ ಪ್ರಸಂಗಾತ್ ಇತರೇಷಾಂಚ ಅನುಪಲಬ್ಧೇ ಯೋಗ ಪ್ರತ್ಯುಕ್ತಧಿಕರಣಂ ಏತೇನ ಯೋಗ ಪ್ರತ್ಯುಕ್ತಃ ವಿಲಕ್ಷಣತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ನ ವಿಲಕ್ಷಣತ್ವಾದ್ ಅಸ್ಯ ತಥಾತ್ವಂ ಚ ಶಬ್ದಾತ್ ಅಭಿಮಾನಿ ವ್ಯಪದೇಶಸ್ತು ವಿಶೇಷ ಅನುಗತಿಭ್ಯಾಂ ದೃಶ್ಯತೆ ತು ಅಸದಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಪ್ರತಿಷೇಧ ಮಾತ್ರತ್ವಾತ್ ಅಪೀತೌ ತದ್ವತ್ ಪ್ರಸಂಗಾತ್ ಅಸಮಂಜಸಂ ನ ತು ದೃಷ್ಟಾಂತ ಭಾವಾತ್ ಸ್ವಪಕ್ಷದೋಷಾಚ್ಛ ತರ್ಕ ಪ್ರತಿಷ್ಠಾನಾತ್ ಅಪ್ಯನ್ಯತ ಅನುಮೇಯಮಿತಿ ಚೇತ್ ಏವಮಪಿ ಅನಿರ್ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಪ್ರಸಂಗಃ ಶಿಷ್ಟಾಪರಿಗ್ರಹಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಏತೇನ ಶಿಷ್ಟಾಪರಿಗ್ರಹ ಅಪಿ ವ್ಯಾಖ್ಯಾತಾಃ ಭೋಕ್ತ್ರಾಪತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ ಭೋಕ್ತ್ರಾಪತ್ತೇಃ ಅವಿಭಾಗಶ್ಚೇತ್ ಸ್ಯಾಲ್ಲೋಕವತ್ ಆರಂಭಣಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ತದನನ್ಯತ್ವಂ ಆರಂಭಣಶಬ್ದಾದಿಭ್ಯಃ ಭಾವೇಚೋಪಲಬ್ಧೇಃ ಸತ್ವಾಚವರಸ್ಯ ಅಸದ್ವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾತ್ ನೇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಧರ್ಮಾಂತರೇಣ ವಾಕ್ಯಶೇಷಾತ್ ಯುಕ್ತೇಃ ಶಬ್ದಾಂತರಾಚ್ಛ ಪಟವಚ್ಛ ಯಥಾಚ ಪ್ರಾಣಾದಿ ಇತರ ವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಇತರ ವ್ಯಪದೇಶಾದ್ ಹಿತ ಅಕರಣಾದಿದೋಷ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಿಃ ಅಧಿಗಂತು ಭೇದ ನಿರ್ದೇಶಾತ್ ಅಸ್ಮಾದಿವಚ್ಚ ತತ್ ಅನುಪಪತ್ತಿಃ ಉಪಸಂಹಾರ ದರ್ಶನಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಉಪಸಂಹಾರದರ್ಶನಾನ್ನೇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ನ ಕ್ಷೀರವದ್ಭೀ ದೇವಾದಿವತ್ ಅಪಿ ಲೋಕೇ ಕೃತ್ಸ್ನ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತ್ಯಧಿಕರಣಂ ಕೃತ್ಸ್ನ ಪ್ರಸಕ್ತಿಃ ನಿರವಯವತ್ವತ್ ಶಬ್ದಕೋಪೋವಾಂ ಶ್ರುತೇಸ್ತು ಶಬ್ದಮೂಲತ್ವಾತ್ ಆತ್ಮನಿ ಚೈವಂ ವಿಚಿತ್ರಾಶ್ಚ ಹಿ ಸ್ವಪಕ್ಷದೋಷಾಚ್ಛ ಸರ್ವೋಪೇತಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ಸರ್ವೋಪೇತಾಚ ತದ್ದರ್ಶನಾತ್ ವಿಕರಣತ್ವಾನ್ನೇತಿ ಚೇತ್ ತದುಕ್ತಂ ಪ್ರಯೋಜನತ್ವಾಧಿಕರಣಂ ನ ಪ್ರಯೋಜನತ್ವಾತ್. ವಿ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ 11th ಅಧಿಕರಣಂ ವಿತ್ 2 ಸೂತ್ರಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟೆಡ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಸೂತ್ರ ವಿಚ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಪೂರ್ವಪಕ್ಷ ಸೂತ್ರ ನ ಪ್ರಯೋಜನತ್ವಾತ್. This is the 32nd sutra of the first part of second chapter, 166th running Brahma Sutra. Here, Purva-paksha is a general objection from all philosophers that Ishvara cannot be the cause of creation, the reason being any action that to any deliberate and serious action will have a desire and purpose behind the action. I expect the result before the action, and such expectation is called purpose. Result is one after the action takes place, and the projected phalam is called the purpose. If desire and purpose are not there, the actor must be insane. The case of creation is an action, a huge action of producing the very universe itself. The action comes from a sane person. Here it is Bhagavan. If creation, that is the case, one must talk about the purpose also. And unfortunately, the way you define Ishvara is such, you cannot attribute any desire or purpose being Ishvara is Purnaha. So the ever fulfilled God, Purnaha, cannot have karma or purpose, which is expected a karma as a karma phala. So why did Bhagavan create the world at all? Brahman has not created the world with no purpose, and hence Sankhya says Pradhanam created the world. Pradhanam or Prakriti in Sankhya language. And Siddhanti can give two answers. One answer is given in the Brahma Sutra. The question is whether Bhagavan has got desire or purpose for the creation of this universe. And our answer is that Bhagavan did have a desire and purpose. And this view is supported by Shruti. We have seen many occasions. So kamayata bahusyam praja yeyeti taitriya. So loka sangraha is the purpose, the welfare of Krishna also said in Bhagavad Gita. So the welfare of Jiva and the whole world is the purpose of creation. And we talk about twofold welfare. One is karmas are to be exhausted. I mentioned this in the previous class. Karmas are to be exhausted by reaping the fruits of past karmas. And number two, to gain liberation, moksha. So these are stated to be the purpose of creation of the world by Ishvara. Thus, karma exhaustion and moksha prapti are the purpose. And the aim of Bhagavan is to create this universe with pleasure and pain. Now, two questions come out of this answer. Namely, if Bhagavan does the job of creation with some purpose, then that Brahman becomes automatically a samsari. Not an ordinary samsari, but a maha samsari with world full of problems. On the other hand, moksha is defined as renunciation of all desires. Na karmana na prajayadane na tyage naike amritatvamanashuhu. Bhagavan himself becomes a maha samsari by cultivating a desire to create and executing the job of creation. So for this question, Siddhanti answers that when you say kama is samsara, desire is samsara, we divide the desire kama also into two types. And they are shuddha kama and ashuddha kama. And shuddha kama is non-binding desire. It is not born out of apurnatvam or ajnanam. And ashuddha karma is binding desire, and it is born out of ajnanam and apurnatvam. We have seen all that thing in these things in different occasions. And they are binding kamas, binding desires. And Krishna tells also in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, name parthasi kartavyam trilokesh trishulokeshu kinchanam nana vaptama vaptavyam vartayeva cha karmani. There is no work for me at all in the three worlds, trilokeshu, trishulokeshu, which has to be done by me, nor anything to be obtained by me which has not been obtained. Yet I am engaged in action. So life of good and life of the world are not opposed to each other. Life of God, life of world, both are not opposed to each other. I have nothing to accomplish. Still, I keep doing things. It is not from apurnatva, and such kamas are born out of compassion and they do not bind me. And that is why it is called shuddha kama. Ichcha shakti becomes the alankara, which it is when it is shuddha kama in the case of Ishvara. You have desire, and let not that desire be binding on you. Swami Dayananda Saraswati beautifully says, you can have desire, but don't let that desire have you. Bhagavan has kama, and it is for loka sangraha. When I ask about the purpose of creation, you say it is meant for the well-being of the jivaha. If the karma exhaustion is the cause, then I will ask, what is the purpose of the first creation when you will not find any karma palam at all? It is the very first creation. Then Siddhanti is saying, we do not accept the first creation at all because creation is anadi and cyclical. Therefore, we need not answer your question. Then how can we talk about Bhagavan producing the creation? The purpose of the Lord is to create a thing for the exhaustion of karma palam of the jivas. Bhagavan has nothing to gain or lose by the creation of the universe. And it is done to help jivas to exhaust the karma palam and to gain liberation. Therefore, na prayojanatvat, that is the sutra. Then Vyasacharya gives another answer also in the next sutra that we will read. Lokavattu Leela Kaivalyam, 33rd sutra, 167th running Brahma Sutra. The objection raised in the previous sutra, that is 32, is answered here. The second answer is, we question Purvapaksha's assumption itself. The assumption is what? Every action coming from a sane person should have a purpose. And Vedantins say that there is no such rule as such at all. We don't say all actions need have a purpose. There are actions whose purpose we cannot talk about. There are two types of actions also. One is nishprayojana cheshta, such activities arising out of an individual for which nobody, including the individual, can attribute a reason. For example, we do have some actions without seeking any phalam. While doing work, you may be humming a song without any aim or purpose. It is swabhavika cheshta. Or those that are natural cheshtas. People, whenever they do work, they keep singing, whatever it is. The heartbeat comes in another example. So nishprayojanam and swabhavika cheshta happen to be the normal course. And in the case of minor cheshtas, minor actions and all, it is an effortless thing and we can take it as cheshta. Can we take the entire creation as just a cheshta of God? A cheshta for one person may be small and for another it may be a very large job. The world appears to be a very difficult job, very difficult task for human being. But for Sarva Shaktiman Ishwaraha, it is a game. It is a fun. It is even a joke. It's a pastime. Leela. Leela means there is no particular purpose and it is fun for Bhagavan. It is an effort, as effortless as breathing of a person. For God, such an action is very easy and effortless job. And another answer given in Mandukya Karika by Gaudapada Acharya in the 9th shloka. Bhagavan does not have any kama and creation is like breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in is srishti and breathing out is pralaya. And Gaudapada Acharya says in Mandukya Karika, Bhogartham srishti rityanye kridarthamiti chapare devasya isha swabhavoyam aptakamasya kaspruha. Other people think that the world is being created for the purpose of God's enjoyments, while still others, they attribute it to a mere play of the Lord, Leela. But it is the very nature of the Atman. For what desire is possible for him whose desires are always in a state of perfect fulfillment? Atmakamaha. Both the actions are as normal as our breathing. Like winking, it is natural for the Lord to create and destroy. That is called Leela here. Now let us see the word analysis. The word tu, that's the refers to the objection. It is not valid. Objection by Purvapakshi Sankhya is not valid. Leela kaivalyam, leela eva kevalayam. The creation is a mere sport or joke or fun, pastime for Brahman. Lokavat, as seen in the world. And the significance of the words, let us quickly look at that. Lokavat means, that's the example here, loka. Loka means the world. And in the world, we see the violation of your law, Purvapakshi's law, that every action should have a purpose. That was his law. As we do many actions which are purposeless, tu is meant for negation of Purvapakshi. So the objection is invalid. Leela kaivalyam, it is kevala leela, means mere sports, and there is no other motive there. It is absolutely a sport, no iota of any intention. From this only we get all the Krishna Leela, Shakti Leela, all those concepts in Puranas. Leela is an action which has no purpose and you should not even ask the question. It is no purpose. Now let us go to the next adhikarana. It is the 12th topic of this particular pada, Vaishamya Naigranya Adhikarana. Vaishamya Naigranya Nasapekshatvat Tatahi Darshayati. 34th Sutra of second, first Pada, second chapter, 168 running Brahma Sutra. So this is a small adhikaranam with three sutras, and the central theme is answering a very important doubt based on the previous adhikaranam. There, in the previous adhikaranam, it was stated that the creation was a leela, a sport of Bhagavan. However, when we see lot of problems in the creation, when jivas are seriously suffering, separation, mental agony, disease, all that, do you mean to say that this is a game of Bhagavan? And if it is so, our respect for Bhagavan will be terribly affected. What is sport? Because one has become suffering for others. We may even conclude that Bhagavan is a sadist, injuring others and enjoying that sport. No jiva enjoys, all are suffering, while Bhagavan alone enjoys his creation. So two doshas are mentioned here. One is partiality and another is cruelty. Who will accept Bhagavan as a kind-hearted soul if this is the case? Even some may say Bhagavan is unworthy of pujas and all that also. Here it is said, disparity and impartiality among jivas in the world are not caused by Bhagavan's cruelty and partiality. Bhagavan is neither partial nor cruel, as painted by the Purvapakshi here. Now let us see the general analysis of this sutra. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya says, Brahman does not have partiality and cruelty. And the doubt comes because in the previous adhikaranam, it was said it was the sport of Bhagavan to create the world, if he wants to create. Lord being omniscient and omnipotent, why did he not create all children as born rich children with all pleasures and with good parents and all that thing? Why would he not do that? Some are born poor, some are born rich, some have diseases, all kinds of things. Partiality is one dosha. It is called Vaishamya, which means partiality with respect to jivas. Why should young people die? Many people think Bhagavan is partial. And the second dosha is, having done the srishti, he does the samhara of the entire creation also, which is another painful experience. Partiality is at the time of creation, srishti, and cruelty is at the time of nairgrinyam, pralaya. The person who is not compassionate is called nairgrinyaha. Why should Bhagavan create the world with all differences and to suffer cruelty? And Vyasacharya says, Bhagavan is not cruel and partial. Both are not because of the will of the Lord. And if so, Bhagavan will be cruel. The cause is different. Karma sapekshatvat. Jiva's karma is responsible for all the differences. Srishti is caused by karma. And Bhagavan is samanya karanam only. And karma is vishesha karanam. If a criminal, for example, goes to the jail for any crime, is it the judge responsible or the law book is responsible for his punishment? Law is yadam, and law book is not responsible for the act of punishment. We say both are responsible. It is so in the case of Bhagavan also. In the Shastra, they give another example. The rain is required. Rain is a samanya karanam, and after rain, all plants, they grow. The rain being uniform, why different crops are raised and the different seeds are responsible for different plants to grow? Rain is samanya karanam and the seed is vishesha karanam. Therefore, there is no partiality or cruelty. This we come to know from Shastra. So punya is responsible for higher janmas, papa is responsible for lower janmas, and the combination of both is responsible for manushya janma. So it is a mishra janma. We are all mishras. Na vaishamya nairgrhanye. Brahman has no partiality at the time of creation and no cruelty at the time of dissolution or destruction also. Sapekshatva, as it is dependent on something else, that is karma of the jiva. Darshayati means revealed. So it is revealed in the scriptures. Now let us see the significance of the words. Vaishamya nairgrhanye. Vaishamya means partiality. Samam means equal. And Vishamam means unequal. And Vaishamya is abstract noun. partiality. And naigrinyam means cruelty. So two defects are imputed by Purvapakshi here, partiality and cruelty. Bhagavan is impartial and cruel and not cruel because I suffer, don't attribute that Bhagavan. Na means not there. That is, the two defects are not there in Brahman. Ketu is apekshatvatim, because all the sufferings and differences in the creation are dependent upon other factors, not caused by Bhagavan's will, but depends on other factors, which are punyam, papam, punya papa, all that. Nothing is the will of the Lord. Since creation is dependent on other factors other than the will of God, tatahi darshayati. Shruti reveals. Tatahi darshayati. Shruti reveals. And this particular truth is revealed in this particular manner. Tatahi. So the varieties in creation is not caused by Bhagavan's desire, but depends upon punya papa of one's own. And one should not blame the God for that. Shankaracharya quotes Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, third chapter, second section, 13th mantra. Punyo vai punyena karmana bhavati papaha pape neti. Punyo vai punyena karmana bhavati. One becomes virtuous by the virtuous deeds. And papaha papena, sinful, by sinful acts. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says, 14th chapter, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastaha madhye tishtanti rajasaha jagan yaguna vrittistaha adho gacchanti tamasaha. Sattvastaha urdvam gacchanti, those situated in the mode of goodness, good merits, they rise upwards. Rajasaha madhye tishtanti, those in the mode of passion, they stay in the middle. And tamasaha adho gacchanti, those in the mode of ignorance, they go downwards. In Kathopanishad also, again, the second chapter, fifth section. Yoni manye prapadyante shariratvaya dehinaha sthanu manyenu sanyanti yatha karma yatha shrutam. Some jivas dehinaha, they go into wombs to be embodied. Yoni manye prapadyante. Others pass into the immovable. Sanumanye anusanyanti. According to their karmas. Yata karma yata shritam. So your karma, you are responsible. Blame yourself, not the Bhagavan. For what you are, don't look elsewhere. Look into the mirror. That is all will reveal why a person is in whatever stage one is. Therefore, Bhagavan is impartial. He is non-cruel. Let us go to the next sutra. Na karma vibhagaditi chet na anadityat. 35th sutra, first pada, second chapter, 169th running Brahma Sutra. So the objection against the sutra 34 is raised and refuted here. First, let us do the general analysis. The sutra has two portions. One is the Purvapakshi's objection. And the second portion is the answer by Vedanti. And the objection is general objection raised by all people. People are born differently based on karma and do not blame God for such birth. If the present janma is based on past karma, how the past janma is decided? And Purvapakshi asks, how the first creation, on what basis jivas are born in the first creation? If you say the next creation is created based on the previous creation, how, what is the case of the first creation? There is no purva karma for the first creation at all. In the case of first srishti, karma is not the karanam, because karma will not be there. Because it's the very first creation. So if karma is not karanam in the first srishti, then Bhagavan alone is the karanam for srishti. And the answer we give is, you will have eternal problem if you hold first creation in your mind. We don't have any linear creation model. You remove the first srishti from your mind, we tells the Purvapakshi. Creation does not have any beginning at all. Creation is a cyclical process. And there you cannot talk about the beginning. The answer is anadivat. There is no beginning at all, anadi. Now let us do the word analysis of the sutra. The sutra is na karma avibhagat iti chet na anadivat. So avibhagat, being divisionless. Vibhaga is division, avibhaga, being divisionless. There is no karma with respect to the first creation that is kept in mind. That is all we have to supply. There is not that sutra. We have to supply all that. Iti chet, if this is the objection by the Purvapakshi, na, that is not valid. Why? Anadivat, because of the beginninglessness of the creation, beginninglessness of the creation. Now let us see the significance of the words. Na karma. Karma means karma is not the cause of the creation. Na karma means karma is not the cause of the creation. In the first creation. When he says karma is not the cause of the creation, he keeps in mind, as I mentioned, the first creation. Reason is karma distinctions are not there before first creation. There is no karma vibhaga, karma distinctions. Even jiva vibhagas are not there before the first creation. No punya, no papa, punya papas. So jivaha, so punya, papa, jivas. Sarvam api nasti. They are all not there before the first creation. And the Purvapakshi takes the Shruti support also for this. He takes the Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, 2nd section, 1st mantra. Sadeva somya idamagra asit ekameva dvitiyam taddaika ahuhom. Asadeva idamagra asit ekameva dvitiyam tasmad asataha sajjayatam. In the beginning, this was only one, without a second. From that non-being, asat, sat, jayata, jayata, being, existence was, being was produced. So, where are the karmas to determine the varieties of creation in the first creation? Therefore, karma cannot be the cause of the first creation. After this is Purvapaksha. If that is the question, iti chet, we do not accept this objection at all because anadivat. The first creation, we do not accept. Anadivat, it is anadi. And therefore, your question is irrelevant. That is the answer to our Purvapakshi. Next sutra, upapadyate cha api upalabhyate cha. 36th sutra, 170th running Brahma Sutra. So the argument on beginninglessness of creation that continues here also. Here in this, it's a very important sutra. And Vyasacharya says, any intelligent person should accept the creation is beginningless whether he goes by logic or by Shruti. Whether he goes by logic, science and all that or by Shruti, Shastras. Any intelligent person should accept the creation is beginningless. Let us first take the logical approach. The scientific reason given is that nothing new can be created or destroyed by the Lord as per the law of conservation. A very basic law in conservation, in physics, law of conservation. So matter cannot be created or destroyed. If you talk of first creation, you violate this law. You enter into asat karyavada. I already mentioned to you about asat karyavada, sat karyavada and all that in previous lectures. So you enter into asat karyavada and they say there can be modification and not production. There could be modification, transformations could be there, but not new production. So if you talk of first set of jivas, then who will give the first set of karmas? Without any basis, Bhagavan has to distribute a set of experiences to the first set of jivas. And these experiences will be without any base, any cause. It is called causeless experiences. Causelessness itself is a defect, is a dosha in the orderliness of creation. The third dosha is without cause or karma, the first set of jivas are born. Without cause or karma, first set of jivas are born if you are taking first creation. And the dosha is called anirmoksha prasangaha. This also we have mentioned earlier in a different context. It is anirmoksha prasangaha. The jivas follow karma yoga, upasana yoga, and they destroy all the sanchita karmas and all that thing prarabdha karma and becomes jivan muktas or videha muktas, both. Normally, the jivan muktas like this are not born again because they have no karma balance. So without karma, the first creation can take place. And what is the guarantee that the liberated person will not be reborn? Purvapakshi says, first creation is possible without karma. And jivan mukta without karma can also be reborn. Then it will become anirmoksha prasangaha. That is the dosha. None will have any interest in gaining moksha at all, because they are going to be reborn also. What is the benefit of getting liberation, moksha? These are all the doshas. And therefore, you should not talk about first creation at all. That is our answer to the Purvapakshi. And he also says that Shruti says there is no beginning. Surya Chandramasau Dhata Yata Purvam Akalpayate. Lord created sun, moon and all that thing exactly as he created in the previous Srishti. Purvam Akalpayate. Data Brahmaji. Yata Purvam makes it clear that creation is anadi. Yata Purvam, Yata Purvam, Yata Purvam. You say to every creation where it ends, anadi. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says, Narupamasyeha Tatopalabhyate Nanto na chadirna cha sampratishta Ashvatthamenam suvirudhamulam Asanga shastrena dhridena chitva. He says, never talk about creation at all. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Api cha. Api cha means moreover. Upapadyate. Upapadyate refers to beginninglessness of the creation. That is logical. Cha upalabhyate. Upalabhyate means this is revealed in the scriptures. Also revealed in the scriptures. Now let us look at the significance of this word. This is only the running meaning. Let us look at the significance of these words. Upapadyate means it is logical. It is reasonable. Cha api is only a conjunction to club this sutra with the previous sutra. So cha is a conjunction, api and also. And upalabhyate means this gives shruti pramanam, the shruti support in the scriptures. Therefore, creation is anadi. So don't expect first creation and all. It is anadi. It is cyclical. It has been going on forever. Now let us go to the last adhikaranam of this pada. It is called the Sarva Dharma Upapatti Adhikaranam. Sarva Dharma Upapatti Adhikaranam. This is the 13th topic. I mentioned to you each adhikaran talks about a particular topic. This is the 13th topic of this particular pada, second chapter. Sarva Dharma Upapattehe, Sutra 37 and 171, running Brahma Sutra. So another reason to prove that Brahman is the cause of the world is put forth here in this sutra. This is the 13th and the last adhikaranam of the first pada of second chapter of Brahma Sutra. It has only one sutra, small sutra, small adhikaranam. And the concluding adhikaranam in which Vyasacharya concludes defending Vedantic teachings against Nyaya, Sankhya, Vaisheshikas, all those Purvapakshis. He proves that Vedanta is free from all doshas. And here Vyasacharya says, Jagat Karanam requires certain attributes to be the cause of this universe. Jagat Karanatvam requires certain dharma to be the cause of the creation. And if you really analyze, we see all the features required, they all fit very well with Brahman. Brahman alone. Prakriti or Pradhanam of Sankhyas cannot be the creation because it is independent. In Sankhya Darshan, Sankhya Darshanam, Prakriti Pradhanam is independent and Purusha is also independent. So this is the general answer of the sutra. Now let us look at the word analysis. Here cha means moreover. Sarva dharma upapattehe. Sarva dharma upapattehe. Since all the characteristics are attributes, here dharma means characteristics or attributes, are all the virtues required for creation are possible in Brahman only. Brahman is the cause of the creation. And this is the running meaning. And the significance of the words are sarva dharmopapattehe. This is the compound word. Again, somebody, who is that? Please turn off your microphone. And whomsoever is that, it is. Ananda, I don't know. Anyway. So sarva dharmopapattehe, it's a compound word with three words. Dharma, dharma refers to the qualifications for creating and to maintain the universe. All such qualifications are possible and will very snugly fit into with Brahman only. Upapattehe, possible in the world, created by the Lord. So with this, this chapter is also over. And the subject matter is conclusion of the first chapter. And conclusion is what? Brahman, this path. This Brahman fits well with the creation. That is the conclusion. And the Siddhanti says, there is no virodha between the three portions. That is the Shruti virodha, Smriti virodha, or Yukti virodha. None of them are also there. So in the first pada, Vyasacharya defended Vedanta. Now Vyasacharya will give offensive arguments to Purvapakshis. Now what? So we have completed the first pada of the second chapter with this particular Adhikaranam of Brahma Sutra. And before taking the second pada, let us talk briefly about the background of the various chapters of Brahma Sutra. I keep reminding this because then it will, at least we will understand, we will be in line, in sync with the context. Vedanta talks about many things like Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Advaitam, Karma, Upasana, Jnanam, all that. Therefore, we have to find out the central teaching here. And for these Mimamsa rules, they are all followed. By appropriate analysis, we have to arrive at the central teaching. All this I have mentioned earlier, which we call Mimamsa or Shravanam also here in this context. The first chapter of Brahma Sutra is equivalent to Shravana, through which we absorbed the teaching of Vedanta. And Veda Uttaraha means Vedanta. And this methodology, Vyasacharya referred to as Samanvaya method of making the teaching harmonious. The central teaching is what? Jagat Karanam Brahma. It is consistent. The consistent revelation, or we use the word samanvaya. We have got a samanvaya adhikaranam in the first chapter. It is a unique thing because no other philosophy arrived at this samanvaya. All other darshanas, they talk about jagat karanam and they say achetana vastu is jagat karanam. Nonsensical inert matter is jagat karanam. Some people say sankhya say pradhanam or prakriti, and some other people nyaya and vaisheshika they are say paramanu. Uniformly, Paraman is atom. So uniformly, everyone says that achetana vastu is jagat karanam. Inert matter is jagat karanam uniformly by all those darshanas. They are essentially materialistic, charvakas and all that, materialistic in nature, and are almost comparable to the modern scientists. They say matter is the beginning. For them, consciousness is intermediary, incidental product, which rises in time. And also which disappears in time. Vedanta is a unique teaching where consciousness, the Chetanam Brahma, is taught as the central theme of Vedanta. By revealing the central theme itself, Vedanta gives moksha or liberation. In Karmakanda, by revealing rituals, Veda cannot give you the benefit. Because the implementation of the teaching is required. You have to do the karma. By knowing a ritual, nothing is achieved. A person has to do the karma to get the karma phalam. In the Purva Bhaga of the Shastras, revelation is not an end in itself, but it is only a means to an end. That is karma phalam. End is karma phalam. You do karma. You may know the karma, but unless you do it, perform it, you won't get the karma phalam. But in Vedanta, very acquiring of the Vedic knowledge and realization of Brahman as Jagat Karanam and Adhishtanam of whole universe, that itself helps liberation. It gives fulfillment to the jivas and it puts an end to all activity because of fulfillment or purnatvam. Jagat Karanam Brahman is a means for moksha. In the second chapter, we don't learn anything new. I mentioned it in the introduction of the second chapter itself. Nothing new is learned, but it only reinforces the very teaching that we got in the first chapter. For example, when we fix a pole to tie a rope, and after fixing and tying the rope, one has to make sure that the pole is intact and one shakes the pole to see whether it is stable. This is called Sthanunikananyayaha. Through Shravanam, the teaching has fixed the pole of Brahmajnanam. But there could be doubts. I can be Brahman also. I can be part of Brahman also. And I can be different from Brahman also. All kinds of doubts one can have. This vague idea is not at all right. And I could be clear whether I would be, whether I am Brahman, I am part of Brahman or anything else. This knowledge cannot be applied. It's useless knowledge. One should be sure what is the central theme of the teaching. The entire second chapter is Mananam chapter. The vagueness can be actually due to three reasons. We have mentioned earlier also. One is the doubt whether my understanding is in keeping with Shruti or not. This is called Shruti Virodha doubt. The second is regarding the Smriti Virodha. Contradiction. Contradicting Smriti is indirect contradiction of the very Shruti itself. You see, it against Bhagavad Gita, Manusmriti and all that, they are all Smriti Granthas. Because Smriti is only a derivative Grantha from the Shruti. And the third thing is, and the most powerful is Yukti Virodaha. Is it logical and reasonable? Or is it illogical and reasonable? As long as I feel Aham Brahmasmi is Shruti Viruddham or Smriti Viruddham or Yukti Viruddham, my knowledge is shaky only. It will not work for me. In the first chapter, Shruti, Smriti, Yukti Virodha Pariharaha, they were all done. And in the third and fourth chapters, Shruti Virodha Parihara is going to be done, that we will see. The third and fourth chapters of Brahma Sutra. And this chapter, second chapter, is called Virodha Parihara Adhyayaha. And the purpose is to remove the vagueness from my knowledge. Convert prajna to sthira prajna. Samshaya rahita jnanam. Nishchaya jnanam. If the first padas, third pada, and fourth pada of the second chapter are meant for Virodha Parihara, then what is the job of the second pada? All this introduction I am giving now so far, essentially to tell, because we are going to enter the second pada, second chapter, I want to introduce the second pada here. That's why I'm going through all this. So in the second pada, there is a small diversion. Because in the other padas, we remove the contradictions and thus establish Vedantic teaching. And so it is defensive approach because we refute all the other contradictions and establish Vedantic teaching. It is a defensive approach. But Vyasacharya feels this, it is not enough to know that this teaching is right. And he also wants us to know that this teaching alone is right. That is Vyasacharya's intention. Advaita Jnanam is not an alternative knowledge. We should know that all the other darshanas have virodha. First we say, our darshanam does not have virodha, first. And then second pada, we attack other darshanams and we prove all other darshanas are nyaya virodha. What are the darshanas kept in mind here? We know that there are 12 darshanas, 6 astika darshanas, accepting Veda as valid means of knowledge. What are those? Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Purva Mimamsa, and Vedanta, or Uttara Mimamsa. These are the 6 darshanas who accept Veda as valid means of knowledge. And there are six Nastika Darshanas. They are Bauddha Darshanam, Jaina Darshanam, Charuvaka Darshanam, then Ajivika. This is fate-oriented. Everything is fatal. And Ajnana Darshanam, there is a radical, six skeptic people. And also Agama Darshanas. These are the six Nastika Darshanas. They do not accept Vedas as a valid means of knowledge, self-knowledge. And of these, Vedanta is one darshanam, and we have to show that in all the other 11 darshanams, there is Virodha. Of these 11, Vyasacharya takes Sankhya and Yoga darshanam as the primary one. Because they are like pins that can be dealt with together. Therefore, Vyasacharya wants to show the defects of Sankhya Yoga darshanam. Then he will go to Nyaya Vaisheshika Darshana also, because that is also another perfect with close teachings. Then Purva Mimamsa, we do not take here at all, but Shankaracharya has taken that in the Samanvaya Adhikaranam that we dealt with in the first chapter, 1.1.4. Tattu Samanvayat in Chatushruti is the last sutra. So where Purva Mimamsa was taken up, we already discussed that also during that time. Therefore, Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, of course, we skipped Purva Mimamsa and Vedanta. These are the six Astika Darshanas. And thereafter, Vyasacharya takes up the Nastika Darshanas, like Bauddha Darshanam, Jaina Darshanam, which do not accept Vedas. And afterwards, certain Agamas are also going to be taken for discussion. We'll see all of them in the course of our talks. Agamas are also, there are certain teachings. More details of that we will see when those topics come. They are wonderful systems, useful for worship. Like the Yoga Shastras, we accept a part of it. All the Ashtanga Yoga, we accept all of them, which is useful for our integration. But the philosophy of Yoga Shastra, Yoga Sutras, we do not accept. Similarly, Agamas as systems of worship are useful. But as philosophy, Vyasacharya and Shankaracharya, they negated them. Thus, Agamas, Bauddha, Jaina, Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, all have defective teachings according to Acharya, because they are Smriti, Shruti, Yukti, Virodha. This is the approach of the second Pada. Then Shankaracharya himself asks a question. When you dismiss other systems, does it indicate that you have got dvesha for them? Will not this approach increase your dvesha bhava? Does it not add to your dvesha or hatred towards them? We say there is difference between accepting the people and accepting the teaching. We should never mix up these two. As far as people are concerned, you should accommodate all the people, all their views. Such an attitude is a virtue. But with respect to the teaching, accommodating all teaching is neither intelligent nor is it possible. Why? Because several teachings are contradictory. That is, acceptance of one teaching automatically leads to the rejection of the other. Wrong theory should be proved wrong, and right theory should be accepted as right. This is the basis of science. We cannot accept all types of teachings. The rejection does not mean fanaticism. Dvesha does not come because we do not hate the founders, but we only reject some of their ideas. It requires tremendous intellectual honesty. Shankaracharya respects all the founders like Patanjali, Kapila Muni, Jaimini, Kanada Muni, Gautama Muni, all of them. Of those, we'll take Sankhya Darshanam first because it is most powerful and closest to Vedanta. Why? It is so because of two reasons also. In all other darshanas, consciousness is considered to be the property of matter. They consider matter is fundamental, independent, and the consciousness is only the property of matter. Even the Nayayikas, they say so also. Whereas Sankhya is most important philosopher who separated consciousness from matter and accepted consciousness as an independent entity. It is very, very big step forward. He calls matter as Prakriti and consciousness as Purushaha. But only thing is, both are independent reality according to them, Swatantram. So previously, matter was more important and consciousness was less important because of dependencies. Sankhya says matter is important and consciousness is also important as important as matter. In Vedanta, we reverse this and say consciousness is more important and matter depends on consciousness. There is total reversal from the first stage to the last stage. Sankhya is in the middle stage. First is materialism. And the third is spirituality, Vedanta. And the second, Sankhya system, is in the transitional stage. It is because of that Sankhya is considered closer to Vedanta than all other darshanas. That is why Vyasacharya attacks Sankhya system to start with. And having done Sankhya, then we will do Nyaya Vaisheshika also. So with this background, now let us take up the first sutra of the second pada of second chapter. And there are 9 adhikaranams are there in this particular pada. So Sankhya Mata Nirakarana Adhikaranam, we can call it. And the first adhikaranam here is Rachananupatya Adhikaranam. So Rachananupapattyascha Nana Anumanam, Nanumanam. This is the first sutra of second pada of second chapter, 172nd running Brahma Sutra. And main purpose of Brahma Sutra is what? Is to show the purpose of revelation of truth in Vedas. And this aim is also to refute wrong doctrines in other systems of philosophy. In the previous portion, the doctrine of Sankhyas have been refuted here and there on the authority of the scriptures with Shruti Pramanam. Sutras 1 to 10 refute this through logical reasoning, Yukti. It is a big Adhikaranam consisting of 10 sutras. It is Sankhya Mata Nirakarana Adhikaranam. And in the first chapter, Sankhya Darshanam has been negated. And why should it be taken again in the second chapter? Shankaracharya defends. And he says, there is difference in the first and the second chapter. In the first chapter, Sankhya philosopher claimed that their philosophy is Veda Sammata Darshanam. He quoted a lot of Shruti also, if you remember. In support of that, he quoted Shruti support. In addition, our aim in the first chapter was to show that Sankhya did not have Shruti support. We tried to again refute there. Whatever Shruti support he claimed was only a seeming support and not a real support. Here Sankhya philosopher claims the support of logic also. That Shruti support, here he takes the support of logic also, Yukti. We show that he does not have logical support also here. We negate that claim and say that the support is seeming support and not real support. The person, I don't know whether he's even sensitive to this noise that's going around. Very sad. Anyway. The subject matter is what? Sankhya Darshanam, we will see whether their philosophy has logical support or not. And he says that the whole universe is born out of Prakriti or Pradhanam. The word Pradhanam is Prakriti only. In Sankhya, Prakriti is independent. And in Vedanta, Prakriti is dependent. Maya. Pradhanam is Achetanam, basic matter or energy. It is Avyaktam. It is unmanifest and it is in causal form. It is like the seed of a tree. It is an independently existent reality in them. He says, Sankhya says, third feature is Anumanam or Anumeyam. It can be arrived at through logic. Every effect has a material cause and has basic ultimate Moola Karanam. He calls it Moola Karanam. Finally, he says, Pradhanam has got the 3 gunas, Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, and Tamo Gunas. So such a Pradhanam alone evolves into creation. Pradhanam evolves into Prapancha independently without any intervention, even without the blessings of Ishvara. Sankhya philosopher does not accept Ishvara. I mentioned this earlier. He says that is Purusha, and Purusha is not Ishvara, and it is Asanga Nirvikara Chaitanyameva. It is unrelated, uninvolved, changeless consciousness. Since it is uninvolved, Purusha is not going to activate Prakriti to create. There it will become involvement, and activation means an action, and it will mean change, modification of Purusha, and it will become Savikaram then. But Purusha, according to them, is Nirvikaram. Purusha does not activate and Ishvara does not exist. So this Vyasacharya negates in this Adhikara. Now we will see the general analysis of the sutra. The first reason is given in this sutra here. An inert thing cannot naturally produce a complex, orderly, intelligent, vast creation. All these words are important. An inert thing, achetana vastu, cannot naturally produce a complex, orderly, intelligent, and vast creation. And the Vyasacharya used the term rachana, world with wonderful design. Now we talk about design, which is a big job. The Lord, even in the creation of the huge universe, has done this great design. It's a great design. It is impossible to think of accidental formation of creation. Therefore, we require intelligence. Wherever there is an intelligent product, behind it, there is an intelligent cause. You have to accept achetana pradhanam cannot produce the universe. Now let us do the word analysis. The sutra is what? Rachana anupapattescha na anumanam. That is the sutra. Rachana anupapattehe. Because of impossibility of arrangement of the world. Design. Anumanam. Pradhanam. Anumanam here means pradhanam. Not inference. Here refers to pradhanam. Na. It is not the material cause of the universe. Now let us see the significance. This is a running meaning. Let us see the significance of the words. Rachana anupapattehe is a compound word. Rachana and anupapattehe. Rachana means this magnificent design. Mind-boggling design. From micro to macro universe. Anupapattehe means impossibility almost. Cannot be done. It is impossible to make a thing like this. It cannot be done without intelligence behind it at all. Cha means other reasons also. In addition, na means not, and we complete it by adding pradhanam na jagat karana. Pradhanam cannot be the karana of the universe. Pradhanam or prakriti of the sankhyas. And the last word is anumanam. Anumanam here refers to pradhanam, as I mentioned. In fact, we need not supply the word anumanam at all, because it itself is there in the sutra. We have said it earlier. So the word anumanam primarily means only inference. Pramana. Anumana is a pramana. That is the vachyartham or the primary meaning. But the implied meaning is what? The word anumanam here is pradhanam. And how can the word inference refer to pradhanam? We have to understand that also, because there is no connection. Inference and pradhanam, where is the connection? Because generally there is a rule, implied meaning should have link, connection with the direct meaning. Vachyartha and Lakshyartha, we have seen all that earlier. Lakshyartha, implied meaning, should have link or connection with the direct meaning. Rule is what? Sakya Sambande Lakshana is the rule. Lakshyartha should have connection with Vachyartha. So what is the connection between Pradhanam and inference or Anumanam? The connection is Pradhanam is arrived at through inference, and inference is the means, and pradhanam is the end. Therefore, means can always imply the end. In fact, this word anumanam has occurred in the first chapter also several times. So with this, the sutra part is over. Now the chakara in this sutra indicates some other reasons. The Bhashyakara explains them in his commentary, which we will see in the next class tomorrow. यो वेदादौ स्वरप्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य यः परः स महेश्वरः पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते। पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ओम्। श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।